My family and I moved from Mexico to the borough of Queens in New York City over 20 years ago. The vein of Queens is a 7 train, which runs overhead on Roosevelt Avenue 24/7, and you can hear it from inside my family's house. One night in March at home, my mother is cooking on the stove and I'm putting tortillas in the microwave.
That's my mom slapping the tortillas. They kind of look like whoopee cushions. Tortilla whoopee cushions. Has anyone made that? I crack myself up.
Just past midnight, my uncle walks in the door, home from work. This is the time he usually comes home.
How's it going?
My uncle and mother are the only older relatives I have in the city of 8.6 million people. My uncle has been working as an undocumented immigrant in this country for 23 years. After my parents separated, my uncle became the main breadwinner in my family. He's short with salt and pepper curly hair, and he hunches. I think it's because of having to stand all day at work. After dinner, my uncle and I sit down in front of the TV. It is past 1 a.m. and his eyes are bloodshot. He doesn't seem happy that I have my recorder. He does not make eye contact as he answers my questions.
¿Qué estás viendo?
I asked my uncle what he was watching.
Televisión.
Ya sé, pero ¿qué programa estás viendo?
Una serie.
They are watching a soap opera.
In all our years of living together, we have never spoken openly about our hardships as an immigrant family. But I think it's about time that we do.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a young woman confronts her family about their future in this country. At the beginning of this story, we heard from a young woman we're calling YB, and we're only using the first initials of her name to protect the identity of her family. YB's mother and uncle are undocumented and have lived together since their arrival from Mexico in 1996. There are 11 million undocumented people in this country. 66% of them are long-term residents and have been in the country for more than 10 years. Working as an older undocumented immigrant can mean working without paid time off, holidays, healthcare, or even minimum wage. There are no retirement programs for older undocumented workers, and there are no savings plans for them. YB grew up with her family in Queens, but has since moved out, gone to college, and become a writer. With a little bit of distance now, she's become aware of how little her family has changed over the years, and how she feels that they're getting stuck. Starting last spring, YB started to ask her family some tough questions, and she's going to take the story from here.
My uncle works 12 to 14 hours a day, 6 days a week, for less than minimum wage per hour. He cooks pizzas, pastas, and makes salads. For 21 years, he worked for the same Sicilian family. He learned Italian to communicate with them, which means he's better at Italian than English.
Tutto bene, capisci? Dammi cotello, cotello e cuchillo.
3 years ago, they sold the pizzeria. After 20 years of working together, they stopped by the pizzeria during Christmas, a day my uncle still works, to say goodbye.
No me dieron ningún beneficio cuando se retiraron. Nomás me pasaron decir gracias y se fueron.
He said after they left, all they said was thank you. They didn't say anything else. No Christmas bonus, no benefits.
Pero el día navideño no me dieron nada.
Now that there are new owners, I wanted to know if they were going to raise his salary to at least minimum wage. When he first told me how much he earned years ago, only $9 per hour, I remember cringing. The minimum wage in New York City is $13.50. My uncle makes nearly $20,000 less a year than he would if he was paid minimum wage.
¿Y cuándo les vas a preguntar?
I asked him when he was going to ask for a raise.
Tengo que decir algo porque no,
he said he had to say something because it wasn't fair that he was working 12 to 13 hours with a low salary.
Sueldo que no es suficiente.
He says he's going to ask, but I'm not sure I believe him. My uncle has a lot of sayings. One of his favorites is about the dog with two tortas, two sandwiches. This is how the story goes.
El perro de las dos tortas va contento y va mirando.
There's a dog with a sandwich in his mouth. He's happy and he's crossing a lake. He sees his sandwich reflected from the surface of the lake and he wants that sandwich. So to reach for the sandwich that's being reflected back at him, he lets go of his sandwich.
La torta se lo lleva el que lleva en el cico del perro.
So in the end, the dog is left with no sandwiches.
Por eso el perro sin las dos tortas se queda.
The moral of the story is do not be greedy. Don't let go of what you have to reach for what you don't. But when I think of my uncle's situation, he barely has anything to hold on to in the first place. He complains about not even having a lunch break.
¿Cómo te sientes cuando estás estresado? ¿De qué te preocupas?
I asked my uncle how he feels when he's stressed. What does he worry about?
Estresado de que me ordenan estas cosas y no tengo tiempo de hacer esta cosa de nuevo.
He said he gets stressed out from all the orders and how he barely has enough time to prepare them. People keep ordering and ordering.
Ordenan y ordenan.
In the past few years, the hours he works have increased. His hair is getting grayer, and the lines around his eyes are deeper. It pains me to see him so tired. My sister is the only other person who understands her family situation. She still lives at her house in Queens, and I visited her in her old bedroom to talk about it.
I'm here. I'm talking to my younger sister.
My sister is really quiet with strangers, but with me, she jokes around.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
My sister and I are both in our 20s, and she's one of my best friends. We both have jobs, partners, and future plans. As we get older and develop our own individual lives, we worry often about the well-being and future of our mother and uncle. My sister helps out financially already, and I feel like my younger sister and I are the retirement plan. Recently, the feeling that they'll be dependent on us has been increasing, but honestly, it's been like that for over 20 years. Growing up, translating for our parents was always a priority. My mother and uncle do not speak English fluently.
Do you think that maybe they should learn English or should have learned English by now?
Of course, they should have learned English. That way, they have better communication skills with other people that speak English and they don't get afraid, especially mom.
What is the earliest memory you have of translating for mom?
I think when I was in elementary school.
My teacher said I'm doing well, mom. I had did all my stuff on time. I'm joking.
No, but seriously, it is something like that though, like going to school, me translating for her. What some teachers say, they don't want the kids translating for their parents if you're in elementary school, so we will usually just have to wait in the background for a translator to come help mom.
And when was the last time you translated for mom recently, now in present day?
Maybe like 2 weeks ago. and show her the way how to get from like Queens to Manhattan.
Growing up, the importance of education was drilled into my cousins and I by our grandmother, who was a school teacher. Applying to college as an undocumented student was hell. A lot of schools wouldn't accept me because I didn't have a social security number and there was no financial aid whatsoever. But then I got DACA in 2012 and my life changed. I could apply to internships and get paid legally for work. I feel guilty for having opportunities my parents and relatives didn't. A few months after I talked to my uncle about getting a pay raise, I decided to pay him a visit at his workplace, the pizzeria, for a slice of pepperoni pizza. My uncle and his coworkers listen to ranchera music from speakers as they cook. My uncle spends at least 72 hours a week in a 15 feet by 20 feet kitchen. There is no air conditioning, and beads of sweat drip off his face onto his yellowing apron. He works 6 days a week, except Mondays. On one of his rare days off, my uncle plays music we can hear throughout the apartment. He plays Los Tucanes de Tijuana, Vicente Fernandez, and Los Angeles Azules. Ever since I can remember, there was always music playing at home.
Yo te he escuchado escuchar música.
Como toda la gente escucha, ¿no?
Nunca es suficiente para mí. Porque siempre quiero más de ti. Yo quisiera ser.
This is the only time during the week when I see him relaxed and happy. Otherwise, he's reserved, serious. But my mother remembers him differently in Mexico. When my uncle was little, he would help my grandparents whenever they needed help. During his free time, he played soccer and went to the movies.
También sus ratos libres iba a jugar con sus compañeritos a fútbol.
She described him as a normal child.
Bueno, todo lo que puede hacer un niño chiquito, ¿no?
My mother and my uncle are 2 out of 5 brothers and sisters. They have always been the closest siblings. Like my uncle, my mother is small too. Her hair is almost all white, so she often dyes it. You can still see the grays and whites from the roots. Because hair keeps growing, you can't hide that.
Cambiaron un poquito las cosas, pero ahí seguimos.
My uncle tells me life was easier in Mexico.
Sí, salía yo en el pueblo, tenía yo amigos cuando salía yo, llegaba yo en el pueblo.
He said he would go out with his friends after work.
Tomar 2 cervezas, 3 cervezas para estimular la mente, nada más.
He would have a few beers, which he says stimulated his mind. I asked him why he stopped doing that when we moved here.
Es que aquí es diferente.
He said it's different here. We work longer hours here.
Aquí son más horas uno trabaja.
We are talking in late summer. It's been months since I first started asking him questions, and it seems like he's finally opening up a bit.
Para mí está bien.
I ask him about the faint white scar between his lower lip and chin.
Esa es cicatriz.
He's never told me about it before.
Un animal, toro, cow, como se puede decir, ¿no?
He says on the family farm, there was a bull. When it was taken for slaughter, the bull lashed out and my uncle was hit. He lost his memory for about 12 hours.
Una patada del tubo de la camioneta, entonces el tubo me pegó. Perdí la memoria por 12 horas.
He lost his memory for about 12 hours.
Mi mamá lloraba. Mi papá me hablaban quién era. Yo no sabía yo quién era.
He said his mother was crying, and his father would say his name, but he didn't know who he was.
Me quedaba serio con los ojos abiertos.
He looked up at them with empty, open eyes.
Pero no me doy por vencido. Sigue luchando más.
But he didn't give up. He kept fighting on. I see a parallel between this story and how he endures his present situation. I can tell he sees himself as resilient, that he sees himself as someone who can endure without complaint. But there's a difference between being strong and being abused. Lately, my uncle seems to be running out of steam.
Coming up on Latino USA, YB questions her family as she worries about their future in this country.
¿Por qué nunca regresaron a la escuela? ¿Qué? Nomás estoy preguntando.
Stay with us. No te vayas.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card, you can earn 5% back at Walmart online, 2% at Walmart in-store, restaurants, and travel, and 1% everywhere else. When you want all that, you need the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. What's in your wallet? Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One N.A.
Support also comes from HBO's latest series, His Dark Materials, based on author Philip Pullman's beloved trilogy. Follow Lyra's quest to find her kidnapped friend, an adventure that leads her to uncover a sinister plot of a secret organization, encounter extraordinary beings, and protect dangerous secrets. Starring Daphne Keene, Ruth Wilson, and Lin-Manuel Miranda. Don't miss His Dark Materials, Mondays at 9 p.m., only on HBO.
Can we affect the rise and fall of the economy?
Although things may look good for now, many Wall Street analysts are concerned about the warning signs ahead.
Just by the way we talk about it,
the bond markets once again flashing that ominous recession warning.
How stories
signal
and psychology affect our economic fate. This week on Hidden Brain from NPR.
Hey, we're back. Now, YB has been questioning her family members for the last couple of months about where they are in life. She feels like they've become stuck, just making enough to survive month to month. And she wants to better understand their decisions. So YB goes looking for answers.
For the last couple of months, I have been talking to my family about why they haven't been able to move forward. My uncle works a less than minimum wage job he hates, and my mother still hasn't learned English after decades of being here. Even though I have also faced challenges in this country being undocumented, I feel I have much more optimism. Maybe it's because I have DACA and some certainty about my future. At the same time, I know other undocumented parents who haven't been afraid to explore their options. My friend Gabby Cervantes is in my writing group. Her mother, Maria, has been undocumented for over 20 years, just like my mother and uncle. I met up with her at Bryant Park.
Creo que debería hablar en español porque voy a hacer la entera entrevista en español. ¿O en cuál lenguaje se siente más cómoda?
En español. En español.
Oh, okay.
In Mexico, Maria was a nurse and an administrator.
Yo en mi país soy enfermera y administradora. Por la falta de un Social Security, no puedo trabajar en lo que yo estudié.
Because she doesn't have a Social Security number, she can't work using the degrees she got in Mexico.
Y trabajo todo el tiempo de housekeeper.
And in the U.S., she works as a housekeeper. She says her first employers didn't treat her well. They once even refused to give her water. So she left the job. That doesn't happen anymore. She says being able to speak English has helped her stand up for herself.
Y fue como empecé a aprender a defenderme, a entenderle lo que me decían.
She has a lot more pride in her work, and she's been able to find lots of opportunities.
Pero este es un país que me gusta estar aquí porque le dan a uno la oportunidad de superarse teniendo, no importa la edad que uno tenga.
She likes being in this country because of all the opportunities there are, and believes everyone can improve themselves.
Okay, creo que eso es todo. Muchas gracias.
Maria's experience working in this country was not as difficult as my mother's and uncle's. While working, she was also learning English and even completed a GED. And she found ways to be assertive and have control. Maria doesn't seem defined by her job. This is something my uncle and mother have trouble doing. My uncle works a lot, and he's defined by his job in a way that feels dehumanizing. After talking to Maria, I sit down with my mom in the living room. She's watching the news. I want to get to the bottom of why my mom and uncle haven't changed. I ask them how they feel about speaking English and why they haven't ever really learned it.
¿Entienden inglés o hablan inglés o no sé, estoy confundida?
I asked my mother and uncle if they spoke English or if they understood it. I was confused.
Estás confundida.
Oh my God! No, en serio.
My mother joked, you are confused.
¿Saben o no saben inglés?
Como de saber, no.
¿Y por qué nunca lo aprendieron?
No hay tiempo, solo trabaja uno.
No es que no lo aprenda, lo entiende uno, pero muy poco, no por al 100% que lo hable o lo entienda.
I asked, how come you two never learned it? We've been here for so long. My mother responded, it's not that we don't understand it. We understand it a little bit. Just not perfectly.
Pero ¿por qué nunca lo aprendieron? Ya pasó tanto tiempo.
Yo sé, pero pues...
I'm being pushier than I normally would be in this conversation. I don't want to let the topic drop. I asked them why they didn't go back to school, and things got awkward.
¿Por qué nunca regresaron a la escuela?
My mother opened her mouth wide, and she leaned back in surprise.
¿Qué? Nomás estoy preguntando.
¿Cómo voy a regresar a la escuela?
My mother said, how was I supposed to return to school?
Hay personas que regresan a la escuela en sus cuarentas. En sus cincuentas.
I responded, there are people that go to school in their 40s or in their 50s.
Pero ¿cómo voy a regresar a la escuela?
My mother said she couldn't go back to school because she had me. Something else that has always bothered me is they don't ever talk about the future. I have always preferred to plan ahead. I even made a 10-year plan, and I completed all of my goals. I finished college, graduated with honors, and started learning a fourth language. I asked them why they don't plan.
Pero ¿por qué no planean?
Yo pienso que no es bueno planear, mejor como vayan dando las cosas porque uno nunca sabe.
They insist on not planning because they do not want to be disappointed in case things don't go as planned.
Okay, yo ya entiendo eso.
But I want to know what they are working towards.
Pero ya ha pasado tanto tiempo.
I said, so much time has passed.
Comprar una casa, tener un negocio. Esos son los planes. Que ustedes estudien, que se superen.
They want to maybe start a business or buy a house. They want us to go to school. She said those are their plans. I've never heard my mother mention these goals before. After speaking to them, I am surprised to learn they do have major goals they want to accomplish. I realized how little I knew about their life experiences in Mexico. I couldn't help but feel responsible for how unhappy they felt. After all, they moved here so that my siblings and I could have a better life. But after talking to my sister, she thinks I'm too negative, that things from my family are better than I make them out to be.
Have you ever talked to mom and uncle about this?
Well, I have. I just recently got into a stable job, so I would say that Now I have spoken to them more about plans in the future. We're not 100% sure of what we're doing, but all I know is that mom and uncle are, I guess, already fed up with the way they've been living. So it won't last long till like they change something about it. They're still like discussing that between them personally.
At the end of the summer, 4 months after I first talked to him about it, I asked my uncle again if he had asked for a raise. We were sitting down in our family living room after dinner.
Entonces, la pasada vez que te estaba hablando, tío, te pregunté si ibas a preguntar si te pueden subir tu salario.
Ya me lo subieron.
He said they raised it.
¿A cuánto te lo subieron y cuánto va a ser después de taxes?
I asked him by how much and what would it be after taxes.
Ahorita me están dando, no puedo decir la cantidad, pero ya me dieron una cantidad más o menos suficiente que me conviene.
He said he doesn't know yet, but they did raise it, and he wouldn't tell me by how much.
Y al menos es lo mínimo que te están pagando.
I asked him if now he at least makes minimum wage.
No es casi lo mínimo, ni es lo mínimo.
He said it's almost a minimum wage. After 2 decades, my uncle is no longer afraid to ask for a raise. It makes me feel relieved. I hope he asked until he is paid minimum wage at least.
¿Has pensado de trabajar menos tiempo?
Quiero trabajar, pero a veces pienso que no me va a alcanzar el dinero que yo estoy con ahí. Ahí me voy a otro lado, pienso que me voy a ganar menos, no sé.
I asked him if he had thought of working less hours. He said he would like to be able to work less hours, but he is afraid he might not make enough. He's afraid he might make even less if he goes to another place.
Es el miedo que tengo.
My uncle says he doesn't want to retire here.
Yo también ya me quiero ir de aquí.
He said he wants to leave because he is at an age where he is ready to leave. He said he's tired of working. He hasn't had vacation since 2001.
Todos los días yo no he tenido vacaciones desde 2001. No he tenido ningún descanso.
It's been work and work all this time.
Puro trabajo y trabajo.
Working long hours for little pay is not a way to live life. My uncle often repeats a saying whenever one of us makes a mistake.
El dicho del camarón que se duerme lo lleva la corriente.
Shrimp who falls asleep is taken by the current. One is quote-unquote taken by the current when one is not paying attention. It is a Mexican saying meant to encourage awareness of one's daily actions in life.
Es como una persona donde uno trabaja, es lo mismo.
He compared it to being an employee. He said it's like being careful to not make a mistake at work and get fired.
Deben andar muy, muy, muy despierto.
He says in life you have to be very awake. I think we are a family of camarones trying to stay afloat in the American currents. For now, these camarones will keep swimming with la corriente.
Our thanks to YB. She worked on this story about her family for many months. But before we let her go, we wanted to hear a little bit more from her about something that's been happening in the news. So as you learned, YB is one of over 700,000 undocumented immigrants brought to the United States as children by their parents who now have DACA. And DACA is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which provides the temporary ability for people like YB to work or study legally in the United States. But since 2017, the Trump White House has been working to end the DACA program. And very soon, on November 12th, the Supreme Court will start hearing oral arguments about whether or not Trump's plan to end the DACA program is constitutional. YB says that she rarely talks about her status with her family. But in light of the upcoming hearing, YB went to speak with her lawyer to learn a little bit more about what she can expect. Here's YB. Once again.
My lawyer's office is in Inwood, the topmost neighborhood in Manhattan. His office helped renew my DACA paperwork. It's a modest building squished in between apartment buildings. I've never met my lawyer face-to-face before.
My name is Mark Fallonati, and I'm the managing immigration attorney at Northern Manhattan Improvement Corporation.
He sounds older. Like he should be in his 50s, but he's probably only a few years older than me. He's wearing a brown suit.
So my first question is there anything I should prepare before the decision from the Supreme Court is made?
Well, the decision likely will not be made for some time after the hearing on November 12th. A decision should come on or before June of next year. Until a decision is issued, it's all very speculative.
But is it definite that it will be made in June? Because I just know from previous patterns that they keep delaying making a final decision.
Whatever the decision is, this is the end of the road for this matter. I would expect there to be some finality to the decision that it makes because it's the highest court in the land.
When I first heard about the hearing, I didn't realize the decision was going to be final. My whole life, the government has been debating DACA. So I ask, what would happen if it gets taken away?
When we applied for DACA, we gave the government our information. So let's say that DACA gets turned down.
Well, the fear in the community that's very justified is that Each and every DACA recipient has come out of the shadows, so to speak, and given their information, including their physical address, to the government. I can't speculate on what kind of action the executive branch would take if DACA is taken away.
Mark keeps saying he can't really speculate.
That's only speculative, but it's all very speculative. So it's difficult to speculate.
And that's fair. My whole life, my family status has been uncertain, and the debate over immigration reform has always been a constant. When I was a student in college, I made a decision to stop worrying so much about being undocumented. Frankly, I stopped holding out hope that things would work out. I just lived my life. My family's attitude towards the future is one of futility. But even as this hearing is happening, I'm going to keep making plans.
This episode was produced by YB and Antonia Cerejido and edited by Sofia Palizacá. The Latino USA team includes Fernanda Camarena, Miguel Macias, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Alisa Escarce, with help from Ginny Montalvo and Maya Cueva. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. Our digital team includes Julio Ricardo Varela and Amanda Alcántara. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Fernanda Uriegas. Our interns are Adriana Tapia and Juan Diego Ramirez. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. And if you like the music you heard on this episode, be sure you stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. I'll see you again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by New York Women's Foundation. The New York Women's Foundation, funding women leaders that build solutions in their communities and celebrating 30 years of radical generosity. The Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. And funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
Testing, testing.
Yeah.
Testing, testing.
Testing.
Yeah. Testing.
Yeah, testing.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, and next time on Latino USA, huge crowds have been protesting in Chile over the past weeks. Most recently, 1 million people in the largest protest ever. That's next time on Latino USA.